Good morning, everybody. This is Chairman Brad Holton. I'll bring the meeting to order. Present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We have an 8:30 agenda start time this morning, and it's for fiscal year 2025 budget workshops. And let's start with the Commissioner's Office and Constituent Services Department. And with that, take it away.
All right, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, good morning. We combined the Commissioner's budget as well as the Constituent Services together since we work so close together. We'll start with the Commissioner's budget. We had a workshop on May 22nd, and I went through this with the Commissioner body before I could actually put it in the financial software to make sure I got your input before I submitted the documentation. So as of May 22nd to current and today's workshop, nothing has changed. So what I'd like to do is kind of give a quick summary of those changes. The document that I submitted to the clerk's office does show that our requested FY25 did drop by $54,000. The approved budget for FY24, and this is just the commissioner's budget, this is not Canyon County's budget, this is U3. The budget was $968,941, and the requested sits at $914,903. So roughly it's a negative $54,000. But the reason for that is the shift of one PCN, and that was the communication specialist that Chad fulfills. That's currently getting paid out of the commissioner's budget, but through the request cycle, we're shifting that over into constituent services because that's where that work is happening to reflect the actual cost of that department. So is there, going down the power plan, as you notice the document that Sarah's put together that's really good, all the notes are there as well. We went through all those notes to come up with those numbers on May 22nd. I guess my general question to the board, is there any changes that you'd like to see in those GL codes and in the request?
Discussion?
Is this the latest document on the agenda that has all the notes and everything with it? Yep, that's it. So just for the audio record, everything in the notes that are yellow highlighted for each GL code, those are the notes for every cost that's being requested. So I really like the notes and the transparency of this, the document.
Chief, there's discussion about a policy analyst, and refresh my memory, where's that going to reside, on the commissioner or under constituent services?
Constituent services.
Thank you.
The budget for the constituent services will be a much more of a robust conversation than this one.
Okay.
Since this is the second round.
Yes. And in the membership dues or fees for Chambers of Commerce and different things. And you, where's the line item for that?
Well, there's actually, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Van Beek, there's an association dues. Mm-hmm. There's also education and training. So the association dues is usually where the chambers and everything comes out of that one.
Okay. And the reason I'm asking, there was another elected office that asked if attendance on that. So that's just another matter. I think that's a policy question on having elected officials involved in the community on where those costs land, if that's a personal cost or if that's a county cost.
Commissioner Van Beek, if that's, if it's county business, it's actually community engagement, that should come out of the commissioner's budget or the general budget if it benefits the county as a whole.
Right, and we do have a number of people, as particularly during the legislative session, or that want to be engaged, and that was a question that was posed to me last week, and I said I think that will come with policy, so they were looking forward to that discussion. But just for clarification, those are out there, and I think it's valuable to have elected officials involved in the community, and I appreciate Director Williams supporting that position as well.
Chairman?
Yes.
To that point, we did add a I know it's different than what you're sharing, but the hospitality line is new, and that was to clarify when we're hosting things like Cookies with Commissioners, we're hosting other events for regional folks are gathering here, that you can provide some refreshments and hospitality.
Yes.
On the, I'll defer to whatever policy you adopt as far as what should be covered when you do community things. From my prior experience, if it was like a chamber event or certain luncheons, there would be, there's a meal line. I know sometimes that's more thought of as per diem when you're leaving the community, but there might be situations within the community where that would apply. We would, in my prior experience, we would use personal income if it was a fundraiser type event.
Right.
Luncheon. So I think those are distinctions that you could formulate in the policy. If you're attending like a fundraiser, you're not using, say, reimbursed taxpayer money as a pass-through, and in that case it could get sticky because the perception might be you're personally donating when it's actually, you know, different. But if usually there's just a meal or admission price, but that's personal and anything above and beyond. But I think when you guys hammer out the policy, maybe those distinctions can help provide clarity. But I know the hospitality one was one that I think Chief Rast and you were all talking about, because if we're going to keep doing, or if you're going to do, and I hope to join as well, I think there's benefit because other electeds who may want to join in with the BOCC, if you're hosting certain things here, to have that line item provides more clarity.
I agree, and I'll look forward. I know that you had provided some documentation when you first onboarded. You have probably more defined policy, so I appreciate your input and discussion.
And Ms. Chair, Clerk, thanks for bringing that up, because I swapped out my document with the notes, and my notes are my last version, but that $3,000 is one change. So thank you for pointing that out. That's the hospitality events on 548414. Yep, thank you.
And Chairman, to that point, Chief, where did we put, we've had several instances where there have been elected officials within the community, and the most recent one was in Star, where there it would be appropriate for the board to send something as a token of a memorial. Where did that land if we wanted to honor, send a gift or something to an elected official in the community? Did we allow for that in there?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Van Beek, that would actually fall under the, we'd probably put under miscellaneous or employee appreciation, those lines, probably not employee appreciation.
Right.
But Ms. Lanes would cover that.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Brooks, you have any questions or comments?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. Trying to verify here real quick. Okay, mine is just, since these GL code sheets are the first time I've seen these, is there a reason why they repeat? Like, I'm seeing them twice in the list.
Well, Ms. Brooks, which?
So if you look on page 2, for instance, you have all the IT recommendations about 2/3 of the way down the page. And then you turn to page 4 at the bottom, all of it is repeated. And there's, so I think there's, it's like the whole part of the list is repeated.
Okay. Commissioner Brooks, I'm not sure why I read it twice. It's the same code.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah, do you know why I printed twice?
Must be a software problem. I'll have to look at it.
Good. Well, at least it's doubled instead of not there.
We're not buying it twice.
It's not double expense by any.
Okay, sounds good.
But I am, Mr. Chair, I am seeing one thing I want to validate. My document that's printed, it shows $4,000. Oh, I'm on the wrong line. That's hotel. No, we're good, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
There was $4,000 populated with gasoline and oil.
Oh, right.
We're good.
We're good? Okay.
That's all I had, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Clerk, do you have anything else?
No. I admire Commissioner Brooks' attention to detail on an 8:30 on a Monday morning.
It's impeccable.
Good feedback. We'll look at the software and see. But as Chief Rass said, it's not being double charged in the budget.
Right.
So I know it's furniture, line 577121 is the same way.
There's a few of them.
Yep.
Okay. So, Commissioner, are we okay at this point? Just accept it as is and move on to, we'll get to review this again, so.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So then let the record show that we'll accept this draft as a draft where it is. It looks like there's a couple corrections that might need to be made on the listing, and so let's show that is tentatively approved at this point, and let's move on to constituent services budget then.
Okay. Well, and okay, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, got Director Williams, got Chad Thompson here as the communication specialist. I have to tell you, how long have you been here, Director Williams?
About 4 weeks now.
4 weeks?
5 weeks.
Coming up to speed. Diving into the power plan, he's created the presentation for this. He's dug in for some needs, and he's been listening to the needs of the county, and it's in his budget proposal. So I will tell you the budget is up based on these requests that you're seeing for the FY25, just because there's a couple software packages, the shift of one personnel plus one new position, but we'll get through all of that. I don't want to take away from the presentation, so if you want to kick it off.
Yeah. Good morning, Chairman and the Commission.
Good morning.
My name is Aaron Williams. I'm the Director of Constituent Services here for Canyon County. Today I'll be discussing the FY25 budget as we go into these workshop series. Pretty much the goal of this PowerPoint and the presentation is to provide an opportunity where we can just discuss our budget, look at it as I present it to you guys, and understand your guys' priorities when it comes to the Constituency Services Department within Canyon County. In this presentation, I'm going to provide background of what the Constituent Services Department is. I'll discuss the goals of the department. I'll go over our A-budget personnel, highlight any proposals that we're bringing forth, discuss the requested personnel, the policy analyst, go over the B budget operating expenditures, discuss the capital improvements plan, look at new software, and then I'll conclude and stand for questions. The Constituent Services Department manages requests and concerns from the public. We provide information and assistance. We also work closely with elected officials, department heads, advocacy groups, as well as community partners. We process and respond to public records requests. We work with advisory committees to provide coordination. We do community events and outreach programs. We manage the media relations for Canyon County, as well as we create the budget book. I'd like to note that we recently met with the clerk to figure out how we're going to tweak up and modify FY25 budget book and come up with solutions to make it better for the constituents here in Canyon County. The goals of the Constituent Services Department, here's a high-level list. There's a lot more, but pretty much we're looking at informing the public. We want to provide a transparent process on behalf of the county so they understand all that we're doing. We also are looking to make stronger connections with outside agencies as well as cities, and we're looking at solidifying the Development Impact Fee Advisory Committee. Through that, we need to come up with the capital improvements plan. In our A budget, the personnel budget, currently we have one staff funded for fiscal year 2023-2024. That's me, the Director of Constituent Services. We have a communication specialist, PCN 766, who is dedicated to the Constituent Services Department, but currently they're under the Commissioner's A budget. We're looking at doing a shift from Commissioner's A budget to the Constituent Services A budget, and the budget numbers reflect that. We also are looking at a proposed grade adjustment for the communication specialist. Currently, they're at a grade 13, range 3. We're looking at a proposed grade of 14, range 2. That's an $8,388 difference. We worked with HR and looked at comps within the area to come up and figure out, okay, this is a more desired income for the communication specialist to really highlight the goals and the needs that they've done within the county and show that we appreciate them and want them here long term. For our A budget, we have requested personnel. That's the policy analyst. When I first got here, there was a lot of conversations around policy and what needs to be updated and what needs to be looked at. Pretty much, we're looking at bringing on a policy analyst that'll do that. Some of the stuff that they'll do is they'll develop and update the countywide policy procedure handbook. They'll look at policy throughout the county. For example, the procurement and process guidelines, the retention policy, how we handle petty cash, employee appreciation use, purchase order and claim processes, as well as other topics. I know when I initially got here, I was asking questions around how do we do this or how do we do that? Currently, there's no set policy for that. So that kind of made me confused, or I had to go out and do my legal research and understand all that. So it would be helpful if we had a book that we can just pass on to individuals when they come here and they start and they know, stay over here and you'll be able to, you know, make change and whatnot. The individual will also help assemble the annual budget book. They'll compile budget reports, which we'll utilize within the budget book, as well as we're looking at doing a webpage revamp, and we're going to have all our budget information on that webpage so constituents can easily click on and see all the stuff that we're talking about. They'll also assist the constituent services in a backup capacity to help the communication specialist as things may come up. The policy analyst compensation request is a proposed grade 14, range 5, that's $67,157, with salary and benefits $93,742. For B budget, operating expenditures, they're similar to fiscal year 24, aside from software line item 577110. And consultant line item 521101. We're looking at hiring a professional consultant to do work here in Canyon County, as well as we're looking at various softwares to help in the sense of public records requests, as well as softwares for push notification. The professional consultant we need is to develop our capital improvements plan. We need the capital improvements plan if we want to start collecting impact fees. That's a state statute. Pretty much it'll be used, as I said, to collect impact fees. It'll work as to plan and manage long-term investments within infrastructure and public facilities within Canyon County. It'll also serve as a project identification tool. It'll look at various areas that should be updated based on the growth in the population in that area. It'll provide cost estimates of how much said projects cost. It'll go over funding sources that we can utilize to complete that project. It'll provide a timeline from start to finish, as well as even the funding of what it looks like from a time frame perspective. And then it'll show a priority ranking of what we need to complete first and how we go down the list. I'd like to note that we met with the Development Impact Fee Advisory Committee last Monday. Everyone's super eager to participate, and they said that they're gonna look at everything with a critical eye, which I appreciate. The price that I have budgeted for the CIP is $85,000. FOIA software. When I initially got here, I walked around and I had a lot of conversation with a lot of department heads and elected officials, as well as employees within the county. And a lot of them brought up a common theme was this aspect of how we manage public records requests. I noticed that there was a disconnect and there was a huge gray area that should be addressed. And in that, did some research and did some digging and looked at various FOIA softwares. The one that we looked at pretty much allows us to receive records requests, so individuals outside and within the county can just submit a records request in an online portal and it goes straight to us. We're able to manage process and workflow. It shows us where that public records request is in a process chart to say, okay, who has it and what it looks like. It also allows us to communicate with everyone internally and externally. we're able to communicate with the public and provide them updates along the processing. Hey, your public records request is here. So-and-so is gathering your information, as well as there's a holdup in your public record request. This is the reason why. And it's an automated email that they'll get to, and it'll pop up on their phone or computer or whatnot. We're able to communicate internally in the sense that, let's say I have a public records request that's in front of me, and I want someone else to add some more information that's in a different department. I can communicate within the software. They're able to see it as an email, log into the software, put the information there, no strings attached, and it's straightforward and keeps on going down the process. We're also able to invoice and collect payments with this software in the sense that the public can pay their invoices, and we're able to receive said payments that they put in within the software, and we're able to send out the records request. Currently, we receive all the information once it gets redacted and goes through civil. We come up with the email, send it out, and then it just provides more change within the process. This allows us to go with the click of a button because it tracks everything smoothly to become more efficient and more effective. The software that I have budgeted is $23,186.25. That's for the implementation. After that, it's a yearly cost of $10,490. The push notification software. Prior to me coming here, I noticed that there was a lot of communication around a push notification software. I know that it was talked about within Cookies and Commission, and individuals brought up, we need a software to communicate with the public and vice versa. And so some examples that I thought of is we can use it for land use hearings as well as commission hearings. Let's say there's an agenda item that we want people to come out to and really participate in, and they can do that. As well as, let's say there's an agenda change. We can allow them to know that there's an agenda change and they'll be up to date. Kind of works as a text message. That's really what it is. We're able to text them. It goes straight to their phone just as if someone texted you, and you see it and you can respond or look at it, and then now you have the information. It allows the county to connect with the constituencies of Canyon County via text message. The price I have for this is $18,400 a year. After that, it's a $12,000 fee. I really wanted to get the commissioner's perspective on that set price and understand where you guys all stand with the software and hear conversation around that. I can progress, or we can stop here and communicate more.
How would you like to do that?
Well, I really appreciate, this is something that I have heard the public come back and say, how come I didn't know? And even as much as we try, and Chad does a great job, to have something that people, I guess it would be a voluntary sign up, is that right?
Chair Elton and Commissioner Van Beek, yes, it's an opt-in. You have to opt in via your phone saying, hey, I want to be a part of this chain. And then once they get a part of the chain, it compiles a contact list. After that, we have that contact list, we're able to send messages to multiple contact lists. Let's say someone opt in for agenda hearings, we can have that to them and send updates like that. Or let's say someone opts in for things going on in the county events, they can opt into that too.
Okay, so as you've indicated, it has a variety of uses that's diversified. And then is it just one-way communication? There's no response back?
Sir Chair, Commissioner Van Beek, the price point that it's at right now, it's one-way communication. It will cost significantly more if we were to have a bounce-back conversation.
Right, and I wasn't advocating for that. It is time-consuming if people want to be keyboard warriors on there. So I just wanted it to be a notification kind of device that would help inform what the county is doing. I see that as positive.
So I have a technical question.
Yeah.
Could someone do a request to have the full list for the text back numbers, or are they confidential?
Sir Chair, can you elaborate on that?
So I'm lazy. I want to have the same list that the county has to send out on land use or whatever it is. And I don't want to do my homework, so I do a public records request for the full list of text numbers.
Oh, I see. I haven't looked into that. That's something that I can go back and talk with our consultant about and see what they do and the parameters around that.
That's the only thing concern I would have, because if I signed up for a land use or whatever it is, I don't want to have the next washing machine special that comes through text to my phone because they grabbed the list.
Yeah, Sir Chair, that's a good point.
And Mr. Chair, a lot of these solutions I've seen, just through the technical side of things, is being a cloud and a SaaS solution, you can keep it anonymous up in the cloud. In the essence, it's a one-way communication. It sends to the cloud, then it disperses that information.
Okay.
Love your perspective, and I'd like to keep that anonymous as much as we could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Agreed.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Aaron, is this TextMyGov that Caldwell uses?
Sir Chair, yes, sir.
So how much does do the citizens of Caldwell use it?
Sir Chair, I was talking with the city of Caldwell, and they brought up the aspect that they think it's a good tool to utilize. I think that, from my perspective, there should be more research done. It's a push notification tool, and it's something that is a high priority. I agree. When I was talking to the individual at Caldwell, they brought up that they'll receive questions. They have a setup decked out with all the responding back and forth, not just push notifications. And the sense of how the citizens utilize it, I think you're asking how often do they text the software, correct?
How many people have actually signed up to receive the push notification?
Yeah, I don't have that off the top of my head, but that's okay. Something that I can go back and get to.
I mean, Mr. Chairman, it sounds great, but
yeah.
Considering historical knowledge of past participation of the citizens of this county, I think the per user fee might be a little higher than one would guess.
Well, it goes back to the fishing boat illustration. So the first person text will cost $18,000 per text. And then the second one will cost $9,000. So the more the merrier.
So, Sir Chair, they have it broken up in the sense of populace for given areas. So Caldwell's paying a cheaper price just because of the city. We're going to pay a significantly more price just because we're the county, in the sense of there's more people here. And so going to your point, yeah, the more people that sign up and opt in, it'll serve as a benefit later on down the road. But yeah,
Chairman,
yes.
And just a little bit of feedback. If we were to go to a paper notification, so for instance, if we wanted to notify through a tax assessment notice, that cost is significantly higher. I asked the assessor, we had a good discussion last week, but to inform at that level for countywide is, I understood, somewhere around $75,000. So I think the questions are good questions and deserve some feedback, some more investigation on really, and again, in change management, it is initially something people have to get used to, and then if they like that, if it catches on, then the benefit of having that ability to notify at that price, I think, would be pretty good if you prorated that cost over the, you know, you're not going to get 100% participation, but yeah.
I think for the audio record, we're in such a weird transition time, so I'm going to use round numbers. We have in the neighborhood of 300,000 in Canyon County. We have a newspaper that's based in Canyon County, and the last I checked, and it could have changed overnight, the subscription was in 30K. So the newspaper that used to service the county for our legal notices and records is a very tiny percentage. And so we're in a transition time, and we need to do something. I think that's what the last meeting we had with commissioners with cookies, it was a very clear communication that they're exasperated as the public of not getting notifications out. And so I think we need to do something. So thank you for looking into this.
Yeah. Sir Chair and Commissioner Brooks, going back to, you brought up a question of how many individuals opted in for City of Caldwell. I just remembered, I don't have the exact number, but working with the consultant, they brought up how they can go in and collect phone numbers via the Postal Service and people that opt in there, and they're able to use those numbers and make contacts lists already from there, and then individuals can say they don't want to be in this and say stop or whatnot. And so pretty much when it comes to the exact number, it could be a straight just because they do a large data collection up front, do that to compile their addresses, and then go forth.
Mr. Chairman, I'm good with leaving it in for now to have the discussion and allow the director to have some more time to figure out the details.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
I agree.
Thank you.
Thank you for the conversation.
And then, Mr. Chair, I'd like to actually throw a narrative on top of the FOIA software, with the Freedom of Information Act or Public Records Request, which is synonymous of each other. I will tell you historically, I've dealt with public records requests for decades. I think we all have here. But we have no management tool in Canyon County to manage public records requests. We have 7 offices, 20-plus departments. We receive public records requests. It could be via email, telephone, formal requests through the website, and those are farmed through the custodian of all elected officials, the department heads, it's hard to even pull stats of how many public records requests we actually service, but I will tell you it's significant. This county spends hundreds, if not thousands, of hours per year and taxpayer money to formulate all these public records requests. And there has been a trend, I'm going to use this word, but it's not a threat word, but public records requests have been weaponized through the years because they want the transparency the public does. We want to provide it. But at what point, how much is too much is too much? But we have to provide that information. But having the stats behind that is so important. And I know the software package that Director Williams is looking at is a very known software package used industry-wide. And I know IT was extremely excited and other parties through the conversations about having some formal software that we could track these requests. Then we can actually put a dollar amount to it. And by statute, you know, you can start charging for these large public records requests. And historically, we don't do that. But some of these requests are huge that take weeks to compile, especially land use and whatnot. So I think the Just FOIA software is justified, in my perspective. The board has the ultimate decision on that, to keep it or to remove it. But I will tell you, I'm totally in favor as an operating officer of the county. This is a tool we need. So that's my narrative.
Yep, and Chairman, I support that. The chief did assume that role for a period of time in the interim between Clerk Hogeboom assuming his new role and then the hiring of Director Williams. So we got a small taste of just the overload that that represents. So to streamline that, and then I think to your point, to look at who and how. And it does get very costly for taxpayers. Again, to your point, we want to share information. But sometimes I think there's a movement to interrupt business by continuing to ask for things that I don't even know how to say it, but I think intent in there. So to be able to look at that and maybe on the cumulative level on what's being asked for and by whom is a good point. And then just an efficient way to manage that information and those requests is, it will in the long run save taxpayers a significant amount of money, I think.
Yeah.
And Mr. Chair, Commissioner Van Beek, the other part of that too is to help us track our deadlines. That's
right.
The biggest part. We have to comply within 3 days. And if we can't, through due diligence, we'd extend that to 10 days. Then beyond that, it's a cooperation between the requester and the county. So it's to hold us accountable on what we receive as well.
Yeah, good point. Thank you.
So a point of clarification, we have our 15 directors below us, but we also have the other six elected officials. We have the courts. This isn't a full campus solution. Am I incorrect? Because I can't conceive that you're going to be tracking the jail. You're going to be tracking the sheriff's office. So help me present this to the public in a fair manner.
Sir Chair and the Commission, yeah. when I initially got here, I did the conversations with the elected officials and department heads, and that's where I came up with the FOIA software. In that, I had conversations with individuals about their perspective on how they look at the FOIA software and how they manage it aside from us. And so, like, the courts and the jails, they all do it differently. And so I did some research in the sense of talking with other counties and other government agencies and trying to understand how they do it. And looking at it, I realized that a lot of them have it broken up from different software to software just because the departments are so different. The software that I'm presenting, it allows us to have the same software across the board aside from courts, in the sense that we're able to make different users as different admin, and so each department can control their public records requests that way.
Okay.
And I will like to note that I was working with our communication specialist here, and he was out for some training, and I was in there processing the public records request too, and I was kind of intrigued to say how we manage it and how they come, and it's kind of like phone calls and emails and a lot of stuff floating around, and really props to my communication specialist because he's able to just really tie that all in and bring it together with things coming in and also things sending out. So it's a lot that goes on without any software or anything to manage the flow.
Okay.
Nice job.
Good. All right.
And then, Mr. Chair, I just did some quick kind of fuzzy math on this. So the constituent services department budget from 24 to the requested 25 is about $174,240 on the increase. But it looks like with the software and the one-time consultant cost, if we do that this next fiscal, a one-time cost is about $105,000. So an ongoing cost really is that new position of what I'm seeing of $105,000. So I want to break down those numbers.
Well, I think, you know, it's not as quantitative as I'd like. You know, business-wise, you have X expenses, and can you spend Y to lower your previous overhead? Like you were saying, Chief, we don't have the ability to discern exactly what the cost of the overhead is on those public records requests. But just when our personal emails here at the board, often the public records request to us is duplicated to several other departments. Mm-hmm. And that means we're all doing the same answer to the same public records request. And just that efficiency alone is going to be incredible. I mean, it'll save a lot of man hours.
Yeah. Sir Chair, one thing that I would also like to add for the public records request, the thing that I was intrigued by, the software that we're looking at, it allows us to come up and, let's say it's a big public records request. Prior to starting it, it compiles the numbers for, say, the price tag for that public records request, sends it back to the individual and say, are you sure you want to progress? If you want to progress, this is how much it's going to cost. And then they can say yes or no. And then from there, they have a price outlined right then and there, and that price is
awesome.
What's expected at the end.
Yeah.
Right.
And Mr. Chair, I said fuzzy math, and I saw the look on Commissioner Brooks' face. Lawfare. So the one-time cost is actually $105,000. So the ongoing is around $69,000. Is that better, Commissioner Brooks? That's how tuned we are.
There you go. Well, I don't always get to see that sitting right beside him. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
So in summary, I went over our communication specialist, taking it from the Commissioner A budget and bringing it to the Constituency Services A budget since they're dedicated and visual for the Constituent Services Department. I also discussed the grade adjustment from grade 13 range 3 to grade 14 range 2 and the proposed new hire of a policy analyst that will help write Canyon County policy as well as help with the budget book and compiling the numbers. I also discussed our B budget, our hiring professional consultant to develop a capital improvements plan, which we need for the capital to start collecting impact fees for the Development Impact Fee Advisory Committee. We also discussed the FOIA software, and I also went over the push notification software to understand where you guys are. I'll stand for any questions.
Chairman?
Yes.
The last, maybe one of the last forums that I attended in Wilder, we were talking about countywide and needs and budget, and I did mentioned the policy analyst position. I want, I guess, the chief who's been here the longest on this executive part. I know for 5.5 years that's been a topic of discussion that I had when I got here. It's the same question that Director Williams has. Where's the policy?
Yep.
And we are very void on policy in this county. And can you talk about the benefit of that? Because I think it's significant. And I think operating in the absence of good policy leaves us open to maybe being in a position we don't want to be in.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, Commissioner Van Beek, that's an excellent question. The policy analyst, from my perspective, has been needed since day one. I've been here nearly 9 years. And when we get the rotation of directors and even some elected officials through the voters, there is no policy to come in to establish what is that guideline, what does that policy look like. Could be as simple as, I've got a credit card handed to me, what's the guidelines on that? How do I use it? Well, there's no guideline. I need to do a training on a policy. We have a travel policy, but it's old, outdated, it's not applicable. And then you have the travel, how do you do a substantiation form on those costs after your event coming back? How do you do that? You have to go to individuals to get the historical knowledge on how the county is run. And I'm going to use it again. I say it every time. I overuse this a lot. But this county traditionally has been practice driving policy, not policy driving the practice. So when new directors come in, I've had the pleasure to sit down with them to go through all of this. Well, that's been the practice for the last 9 years. when new elected officials come in, they rely on their staff to get them up to speed. But it would be nice to have one government, one policy handbook, and law enforcement is different. Now, the sheriff's office is going to be different because they have very strict policies and guidelines they have to follow because they have high guidelines they have to fulfill. But this is countywide, and I think on the workshop, I did read some of them on the record, of some, just a small snippet. But I will tell you at the end, this policy handbook is going to be big because that's how policy, but when you create policy, it's not done. It's a constant living, breathing organism. You have to keep updated all the time. New per diem rates are always coming out. There's new substantiation forms. There's IRS forms. There's financial. There's, we might change a procedure. There might be a new board that comes up and says, hey, we want to change that procedure up. We got to document it. We don't have any of that. So the policy analyst, and Aaron and I had a lot of conversations. Do we do a policy and budget analyst or a policy analyst? I'll be honest with you, from what I'm seeing from Clerk Hogebohm and Sarah and the auditing team and the budgeting and the auditing, I don't think we need to duplicate those efforts. That team, that office has got the financial system down, but where our void is policy. And this individual will work with auditing and the clerk's office to establish that budget book every year for that constituent forecast. Because that budget book is the only story that a lot of constituents see. And that's where policy comes in as well. What does that budget book look like? So I know that's a long-winded explanation, but it's a huge lift.
And it is a huge lift, and even consistency year over year in how the budget book is presented and what it contains and the level of information that it contains that's useful for citizens, that's important. And as we continue to build a unified team and even down the partnership that is really appreciated from the clerk's office in what's required for documentation that's standardized across the board to support the claim so that if people want to know, hey, why did you approve that? Well, here was the substantiation for that claim. It's not just travel, but on every claim, was it budgeted? There's a lot of things, working lunches, whatever that looks like. Are we able to provide an explanation for the taxpayer on the use of all those dollars? That's important to me. I hear it being important to the public. And so I think it's a great move, and this position will return great benefits to Canyon County.
Yeah, and Commissioner Bebe, one last comment is I've reached out. I've got Ada County's procurement guidelines. I have Bannock County's.
Yes.
I think I even have Bonner's. And their procurement and guidelines are pretty thick because when you talk about procurement in the county or even the government space, it's very complicated. What's the thresholds? When do you RFP? When do RFQ? What's RFI? What's your thresholds? What's the state doing? Because the state upped their threshold from 50,000 to 75,000 here recently. But if it's public works, architect, and engineering, it's 50,000. And it's professional services. Well, what does that look like? So it would be nice to have that policy handbook in front of an EO and a director and say, okay, I want to do this. Because a lot of EOs don't do a lot of procurement. But when they do, like, okay, I need to follow this guideline and then go out to legal and then start following that process.
Right. And I met with Bob Perkins in 2019 because I was interested at that time. He does a great seminar at IAC. But I have a copy of his procurement manual, and everything from asset tagging and management to the end of life on an asset, all of that, I believe that's important to track all those assets and know what's happening in the in-between. And it's all part of that procurement process and it's just needed.
Sir Chair and the Commission, I'd like to also add off of what Greg brought up, Chief Rass brought up. Initially when I got here, every time I look at doing a role, I bring a new set of eyes, a fresh look, and I try to understand and see and take a listening perspective and really comprehend everything. One thing that I noticed coming here, I brought over all the stuff that we're looking at, the FOIA software, hiring a consultant. Procurement was a big topic that was discussed. I also discussed other policy with different individuals here at the county. And they brought up, don't go over the threshold, stay within the constraints, then you don't have to worry about the procurement process or XYZ or this policy or that policy because you're staying under the radar. From my perspective, I think that's kind of constraining, and it kind of puts you in a box in the sense that you're only performing the bare minimum. When you actually, if we had a policy that clearly outlined what needs to be done and how to get it done the legal way, then individuals would be able to get their job done and really come up with something that's beneficial rather than just staying under the radar.
Yeah, totally agree. Thank you.
Okay. Clerk, do you have any questions?
sorry, excuse me. I appreciate the discussion. I think Chief Rass kind of spoke to the one question I had was just the budget mentions that were in here, and I think you clarified on the record kind of where the collaboration would occur, especially on reports. I just to let you know, I'm happy. I think we're leveraging our team, Sarah, Steve, our new controller, to generate reports, and I'm happy to collaborate with constituent services to make sure that, knowing that anything we release is externally facing, make sure that we're on the same page and welcome their assistance to aesthetically dress that up. The only other question I had was there was a, just I can speak to it because I think part of it was there was a plan for the part-time. I see that carried over. I didn't hear, I might have missed comment on it. I don't know if the plan is to use potentially paid interns or whatnot. If there is no plan, there's potentially 20,000 that could come off or could be reduced. But,
Sir Chair and Clerk, that was one conversation that we had in the sense of the universities here, and I thought that was a good point to get some individuals from the universities to partake in government, and we could definitely utilize them to get some work done too. So initially when I budgeted that, I planned on carrying it over to get some interns to do some part-time work for Canyon County.
Then the only other, the CIP consultant, Chairman, Commissioners, I don't know, Director Williams, if you were able to, I don't know how you got that number. Was did you talk to other neighboring entities or that placeholder amount? I just want to make sure that that's.
Sir Chair and the clerk, I did my due diligence. I went out and I talked to other consultants that I've worked with in the past, other consultants that I haven't worked with, and then I went over the proposal that was presented from when you were in my office and just was giving us a nice number so we won't get too in the box, but I wanted to go down the right procurement process in the sense of what the legal and the legality area points me to.
Gotcha. One follow-up. Yeah. I think this is different than whether it's Tischler Weiss or someone else because they're, I think, just important for the record, that the work product deliverable they do is different than the CIP, which is a technical deliverable. And I think Director Britton would probably need to be very involved, as well as Sheriff's Office and the parks. I'm sure that was all thought through, but the CIP is really a different type of deliverable than what Tischler Weiss. In fact, Tischler Weiss, they're going to ask for a CIP in order to create the methodology. If there is no CIP, you're stuck. And the CIP needs to be incorporated in the budget process. Again, I just want to pledge in the spirit of cooperation, collaboration, that once the CIP, it looks like we're probably not going to have it for this current budget cycle, but it's a commitment to identify what the long-term capital needs are and make a good faith commitment to fund and let the budget reflect those funding commitments. So whether this budget cycle, it might be a little tight to get in. I think you could potentially amend the budget, but you'd have to show other revenues. If the impact fees got in, again, you're not talking about buying stuff in year one. The impact fees are going to be accumulating to have future investments. But it's kind of like you got to have the plan first in order to collect the money to then spend the money. And so it sounds like we're all synced. I just wanted to make sure. Yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'll just add the budget thing was part of my question / concern, considering that we have a controller starting in a couple of weeks. I didn't want to be duplicitous there. But also, since it is titled a policy and budget analyst, if we're not really focusing on the budget side of it, does that change how much that individual is going to need to be paid?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Brooks, through our conversations, we're proposing a title of policy analyst. That will be the title. not policy and budget analyst. Because that's how we felt. If we put budget analyst in there, we'd be duplicating those efforts within the auditing department and the clerk's office. So it's just policy analyst. And the numbers you see on the A budget reflects that.
Point of clarification. So in your proposal, has that been changed and pulled out the budget analyst? So it's just policy? Okay.
Not, sir, chair, not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
And that's what I was, I wanted to make that comment verbally to make that clarification that that will be changed going forward.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Perfect.
The notes do not reflect it, but the salary does.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Good. Yeah, I was just going to say for conversation's sake and to move this thing along that I'm good with what's been presented as far as keeping it in there for further discussion.
Okay.
And yes, I am too.
Okay, so am I. So let this be shown that we accepted this as a draft at this point in time and we're moving forward.
Well done.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Chad, you made the whole meeting without having to speak. You did well. He took a lot of notes, so there you go.
Absorber.
Okay.
Absorber of information.
All right. That's good. It's very difficult for me to take notes and be totally engaged with what's going on, too. So, all right. Let's do a 1 or 2 minute break for the audio record, and then we'll start with the how is it listed? Sheriff's office, but it's just that simple. All right, all right. So let's take a break for let's convene back at 9:26.